DW Africa Link.
Growing up and even throughout my journalism career, the far north region of my country, Cameroon, rarely met the headlines for the right reasons. It was always the same cycle where news on conflict, displacement, poverty, or tragedy compete with each other. Any reporter who often covers this region is most likely to leave the area with a heavy heart and a notepad full of sorrow. But every now and then, a story breaks through that feels truly different. This week, we finally got one of those stories, one that signals hope, possibility, and progress. The inauguration of a new bridge now stretches across the Logone River, linking Cameroon and neighboring Chad. It is said to be one of the longest in Africa, and it promises a new era for sub-regional integration in Central Africa. So what does this bridge mean for trade, safety, and regional unity? And how are local communities reacting to it? That's what's coming up. I'm Mimi Mefonewu, and you're listening to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter across the continent.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
The new Logone River Bridge connecting Cameroon and Chad marks a major milestone for trade and integration in Central Africa. With intra-African trade still under 20% due to poor infrastructure, this bridge offers a safer, faster route for goods and people. Cameroon exported $159 million to Chad in 2021, while Chad sent just $3.6 million in return, and this bridge could help close that gap. Crucially, it replaces dangerous canoe crossings, offering a safer route for thousands who travel regularly between the two nations. It also supports labor mobility and access to essential services. But the project's full impact will rely on connected roads and streamlined border procedures. And its success depends on strong road links and efficient border controls. To discuss this very interesting topic, we are now joined by Yaya Nasuro. He is an economic expert from the far north region of Cameroon. And we also have DW's Dokas Ekupe. Thank you both for joining us today. I want to begin with you, Mr. Nasuro, to find out, what I know is that bridges alone do not build economies. Can you tell us what additional investments must follow for this project to truly transform regional trade?
You know, between Cameroon and Chad, it is like over 1,000 kilometers of borders. And there are already two connections. That one is from around Mundu and the other one is in Kuseri. Now, the bridge in between Yagua and Bongor, I can say it's going a little bit late because people are already used. But if you want to benefit from it, really, we should make sure that connection with Nigeria through Gider and Muzugoi, that's in the north region, should also be constructed because the road there is not easy. And if you construct that one, then we will see huge livestock and goods passing there. And also the access roads should also be built as fast as possible. So now the region is a little bit poor compared to others in the country. Then we need to invest. You know, there is no industry in that region. We don't have huge companies there. We don't have enterprises there. So there is a lot to be done in every area, agriculture, industry. And then we can be able to supply Chad and using that bridge. It's a great opportunity, but there is a lot to do in terms of investment.
Now, on to Dokas. You are a correspondent on the ground and you've spoken with communities on both sides of the bridge. Can you describe the dangers that they have been facing crossing the Logone before this bridge?
In terms of the difficulties, with the rains we had last year, when there's so much rain, the river swells up, making it very difficult for paddlers to navigate their canoes. And when this happens, it's difficult for people to reach their destination because the canoe has to capsize and people die. A lot of people are dying, you know. We can't say exactly the numbers of those dying, but for sure people die yearly while trying to cross the Logun River, either, you know, going towards Chad or coming over to Cameroon. Like I did say, I said last year, I did a story of some 8 persons who capsized on the Logun River. And there was one lady there from Chad coming over to Cameroon to help her mother with the farming. You know, she had to perish. And there are also hippopotamus in that river, you know. Sometimes these hippopotamus also do disturb. Like I said, when it's swell, it's difficult for paddlers to navigate their canoes, you know. Usually there are festivals, you know. There are so many festivals this way. People live here to Chad or from Chad to here. And using that river alone, there are not enough canoes. And so they have to postpone their journeys, or they are stranded. So these are some of the difficulties that I could say people are faced with over here.
So what does this new structure mean for them? How is it going to affect their livelihoods?
Definitely it's going to affect their livelihood because we have people living in Yagua, working in Bongo. We have women who are into petty trading, who sell vegetables, fruits and cereals, you know. So it's really going to help them. And, you know, crossing over the Logun takes much more than with this new structure. So I think it's fast and it's going to make movement easy for them through and through.
Mr. Nasoro, just to find out, we've heard from Dorcas about the consequences on local inhabitants. Now, informal cross-border trade has sustained the region for decades, as we can hear, especially for women. What is the best way to integrate them within the recent technology without disrupting their livelihoods, which are also very important?
Maybe we can use sensitizing, but this non-government organization, public authorities, Ministry of Social Affairs and Youth can carry a lot in that, make programs, build programs to help them learn more about digitalization, about all these modern features that could help them. But the fact is that people are almost the same in the both sides of the rivers. They are same ethnics, same tribes. They just consider it, in some places, they just consider it two different countries because of the official instructions. In fact, they are all considering themselves on the both sides like the same place for them. So crossing the bridge normally will be subject to police controls and gendarmes and identity. Normally, all these official procedures, they need to be sensitized and normalizing their own situation first. Also, maybe to be used to use telecommunication features.
I would want to stay with you to just find out, how do we ensure that the benefits of this bridge don't just stay within the circles of the officials, the elites, or the large companies, even though you said this, we don't have a lot of companies or industries in the far north region. How do we ensure that the benefits of this bridge reach the local population, especially in neglected border communities like Yagua and Bongo that you mentioned earlier?
You know, the people should be taken care, because before the bridge, they were able to cross to and fro from the two countries. And it's just that they could not carry heavy livestock or goods because trucks cannot cross using the boats. So the problem is not there. They need to learn now that there's a possibility, there's an easy way to cross, either for people or for goods. They need to learn how to run their business so as to be competitive. And know that, okay, now there's a facility for me to go and sell on the other side, or send my products to be sold on the other side, or build partnership with people the other way, and vice versa. And this one, public authorities can just sensitize them, because building out can only, as she said, problem of security or safety of people that is solved, because as she said, there are animals around the river and then can attack people. Out of that, normally it is a mindset. Very soon, I cannot say in the next 2-3 days, but in the weeks ahead, you will see people building shops on the road, taking to the bridge and from both sides. Because as people will be passing on the bridge, they will stop by. And we used to see it everywhere where we build bridge or roads where there are connection in borders on both sides. People build shops. The most important is not the trade, what they can produce there to provide the other side of the country. And this concerns other people from Chad and from Cameroon.
Yes, Dorcas, I want to come to you to just talk about infrastructure projects in Cameroon often come with a lot of celebrations, but some critics or some political observers are of the opinion that they create limited local impact. So how are people in the far north region receiving news of this bridge? Are they hopeful, like Mr. Nasuru just said, or are they kind of skeptical?
For the most part, people are hopeful. You know, people are hopeful. Are hopeful, like I earlier on said, because this is something that, you know, people also like to trek for longer distances over here. Let me just use the word women again. We have a lot of women who trek for longer distances. I could tell you that people would trek over that bridge. I was there on the ground and I saw women from Bongo and women from Cameroon as well. They were very happy because this is something that is going to aid them truly.
Interesting. So, Mr. Nasuru, looking at the recent tensions over the Chad-Cameroon pipeline project, does this bridge signal a new diplomatic chapter between the two countries?
Cameroon and Chad have a long story. They have a lot in common. They have many projects in common. They're working together, their collaboration. It was just an incident that was rapidly fixed and everything went back to normal. We were not considering it as a big challenge. It was a sort of misunderstanding. And this can happen to between two countries that are living together and which are sharing long borders, like thousands of kilometers. So just that the bridge, the construction did bridge, because it was sponsored by the two countries, Cameroon would support 58% reimbursing the loans financing that finance the bridge, the construction of the bridge. Chad will support, I think, 42%. So out of the support of the European Union and the Africa Development Bank, the two countries were very collaborative. And then we believe that such incident cannot last for long between Cameroon and Chad. And the bridge is just a proof that collaboration continues between Cameroon and Chad. Because we also have some other projects to continue that they will build. The project that started that are not finished, that they are going to continue the second step, the next steps of the projects, and like the economic revival of the Chad region, interconnection of Cameroon and Chad electricity grids. So there are many interesting projects in line. Constructing this bridge was a successful collaboration, but this is not a surprise between Cameroon and Chad. I think it is just a proof that collaboration between Cameroon and Chad is not suffering from any threat.
What about the impact that it will have in the CEMAC sub-region beyond Cameroon and Chad, which are also CEMAC countries?
Chad is the first Cameroon customer in the sub-region, even in the whole Africa. Normally, in the foreign trade, Chad is taking more than 40 or 50%. Chad a great customer for Cameroon. So the impact would be for Chad reduction of cost, because the bridge of Yagua-Bongor stands like a shortcut, because from a certain part of Cameroon it would be the easiest way to hit N'Djamena. That's the city capital where there are a lot of consumers there. And for Cameroon, it is another alternative. You know, the way from Cameroon, Mora, and Dabanga sounds risky sometimes because of Boko Haram, for example, challenges. You know, traffic was not possible at a certain moment until safety came back after fighting Boko Haram or pushing Boko Haram out of the country. But before that, that road on that way was a little bit off-centered, meaning it was very close to the borders of Nigeria. The way through Yagua is really secure. It is safe. So no one will be able to stop connection between Chad and Cameroon as far as the bridge will be available. So this is very important because goods can come from either out of the CEMAC region or within the CEMAC region, and they will reach N'Djamena. And also goods and people can move from N'Djamena to the rest of the CEMAC now with very safe conditions. I think that's the main advantage of it. You know, the national road number one connecting the south to the north of Cameroon is off-centered in two places. You have, in the south, you have around Garambulay. That is very close to Central Africa. So if there is any instability there, there will be a problem. Now they are building the road Yaoundé, Lena, Lena, Tibati, Tibati, Ngaoundéré. And they will allow us to continue whether there is instability of security threats in the neighboring countries or not.
Okay.
So that's the main advantage is to maintain the connection, and people and goods can move without interruption, without any risk.
Okay,
and
very
also,
well.
My last point, it will mitigate. We are doing business a lot with foreign countries. When I say foreign countries, I mean out of CEMAC zone. So improving and facility of transport and infrastructures, because it is in the strategy of Cameroon, national strategy, NDS 30, it is clearly written that infrastructure are the backbone of integration, regional integration. So the bridge of Yagua Bongor is part of that.
Dokas, Mr. Nasuru just mentioned that infrastructure is the backbone of every economy, but I just wanted to find out from you as our reporter on the ground, have you come across concerns about customs practices like bribes or delays at the border that might limit the effectiveness of this bridge?
Of course, Mimi, I would say that once in a while we have this, we have bribes. That's true, once in a while. And I fear that it's going to be the same thing, except we really have tight security and checks to make sure that this does not happen yet. Because if it's happening in other areas, why not? What will it be of a difference with the bridge? So we are just afraid that it should not happen. But looking at other places, we see it happening.
Beyond trade, Dokas, what impact could this bridge have on internal displacement, refugee flows, or cross-border migration, which are some of the things that you've been covering as a journalist?
Okay, Mimi, you know that we have Cameroonians who have families in Chad and vice versa. We have people who are married, Chadians who are married to Cameroonians and all of that. So this bridge is going to really help them move a lot, you know, visitation and all of that, because they have families, Chad in Cameroon, they have families, and they have festivals that are similar. So these are things that are going to really help also, apart from the trade that we are talking about, just visiting to see one's family, since Cameroonians are married to Chadians and vice versa.
As we are winding up this discussion, I want to find out from our expert, given Nigeria's access to Cameroon's far north region through states like Bono, Adamawa, could Nigeria stand to benefit more from this bridge as well, Mr. Nasuru? I know you talked about it earlier, but can you tell us whether Nigeria stands to benefit more from this bridge than other parts of Cameroon that are still really poorly connected when it comes to road networks?
Honestly, I think that's a very interesting question. Honestly, I do not expect the impact and the immediate impact on Nigeria business from the bridge of Bongor now. What I said, because when people cross, enter Cameroon through Banki there in the far north, they should rather go straight through Dabanga and Kuseri, even though the road is a very difficult one and it needs to be tired, because coming on the way to Yagua and cross the Bongor Bridge would be very costly for them. And for the others who are coming from the north region, they need us to build a good road passing through Gider and Muzugoi. There is a line they can use. But so far, I doubt the impact cannot be immediate. There are some few things to be done before Nigeria can benefit widely on from the bridge. It is like a shortcut. Anything entering from Nigeria to Cameroon, to the northern region, I mean around Garoua, should better pass through the bridge, the Bongor Bridge, instead of going towards Mora and Kusiri.
I know we have some good news coming from the far north, but it's not really always very much reported on international media. But at least one good news coming in a long time. How do you feel about it? And when are you going to be visiting Chad using this bridge?
If it is an invitation, then I can do it next month, just to get an agreement with my hierarchy to free myself. I join you there. You know, Chad is like a borderhood country, and we know there are a lot of interesting things in that country. And when we go there, we are treated like brothers and family members everywhere we go, because Cameroon and Chad has a lot in culture, in collaboration, and we love each other. As she said, many Cameroonians and many Chadians marry each other, and it has never caused any trouble to any. So now I think if I'm free, the earlier the best, I will be happy to visit Chad through the bridge of Bongor. The main issue is that we take a flight to go to N'Djamena because it takes less time. When I leave Douala to go to Yagua and cross the bridge, if I have to do that, then it would take at minimum 2 days.
Yeah, I wish that you brought that personal experience into the discussion, but thank you for mentioning that as well. And Dorcas, when the far north region is spotlighted on the international media, it's always related to conflict, migration, refugee crises, maybe accidents and so on. And for the first time in a long while, we are talking about the bridge linking Cameroon and Chad and how it could prosper businesses and foster the activities of women around the area. How do you feel like reporting overall in that part of Cameroon?
So you see, there are a lot of negative stories here, I must say. But then we have people doing, we have initiative and women doing amazing things. So like in the refugee camp, we have women who are producing ecological charcoal. We have activists who are working so hard, you know, to end child marriage. Like, you know, we have child marriage here, but we have exemplary people who are helping to curb down on the phenomenon. So I take pride in reporting from the far north, because there are some journalists who don't even want to stay here, Mimi, because of the weather and insecurity and all that. So I really do take pride in working from this part of the country.
And Dorcas, I'm glad that you are able to keep pushing through despite the challenges that you go through. Please keep bringing the story on, especially as a DW correspondent, will be happy to cover them.
Africa is changing. Don't get left behind. Tune in to Africa Link.
At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. Across Africa, bridges are doing more than just connecting riverbanks. They are transforming trade and mobility. The Kasungulu Bridge, opened in 2021 between Zambia and Botswana, is a key link in the North-South Corridor, connecting several landlocked countries to global markets. Though it avoids Zimbabwean territory, it still eases regional transport, helping shift countries from landlocked to land-linked. That same vision now applies to the new Logone Bridge between Cameroon and Chad, a step towards smarter, safer, and more integrated trade in Central Africa. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you're not just a listener, but part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember to follow so you can catch all the Africa Link podcast episodes. This podcast was co-produced and edited by Josie Mahachi. My name is Mimi Mefoneu, and thank you so much for listening. And until next time, goodbye.
DW, made for mind.